Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
What an absolutely beautiful song. If you think about what you're singing, if you listen to it and meditate upon what you're singing, we give you glory. For indeed, you are holy forever. You are the Most High God and the only God, the Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. For we believe in you, Holy Trinity, that you are always there for us, with us, empowering us, strengthening us, helping us, even giving us your Holy Spirit and commanding your holy angels' charge concerning us to guide us on the way of life. We are blessed forever with the mind of Christ. Now I pray, Lord, today is a message so fundamental, so very important to properly understand, that everybody will be strengthened by the word today. And that, Lord, this gives us the key to answered prayer. This gives us to the actual key to the miracle working power of God. And Father, we thank you that tonight it'll be like that. The power of God will be in this place. In Jesus' name, stretch forth your hand, O Lord, and grant us signs, wonders, miracles. Confirm your word with signs following. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Wonderful crowd here this morning, second service. Had a lot of people first service, but I think even more people in the second service. So welcome everybody. And I want to go straight into the word of God because I have got a number of things. I'm going to allow a string of verses to guide this entire service. Because if you are into the word, and what happens to me is I normally get strings like this when I prepare for any Sunday. It's like I get all these verses in a row, and I decided to put them in a row like this immediately thereafter so that you can see the logic that flows from it. So let's go verse by verse. Write them down. Don't forget them. Write them down and keep them in sequence. And the recording of this particular message is fundamental to all of Christianity. All of us, absolutely, men, women, and children. So let's go, and we follow the trail of the blood of Jesus as we build up to the Passover, Good Friday, and the sacrificing of the Lamb of God as we look at Good Friday. Now, in that build up then, Revelation 12:10, verse number 1, is what I want to turn to. And stay with me. If you haven't got a Bible with you, write it down or try to stay with us as we read. Then I heard, Revelation 12 and verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, redding, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Verse number 11. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Notice, by the blood of the Lamb. That word overcome there literally means conquered the devil. You conquer the devil by the power of the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ, who is the living word that lives and abides forever. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Having said that, I want to turn to the next verse. They overcame, they conquered by the blood of the Lamb. You are the people on the earth that conquer by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I want to look at the blood of Jesus, and we follow the track. It's like walking in a, like you would say in the African bush, they follow the spoor, they follow the track. And here we look at Leviticus 17, Leviticus 17, and the 10th verse. If you write that down, Leviticus 17, verse number 10. And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers, not only the house of Israel, who dwell among them, who eats any blood. Who eats any blood. I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and I will cut him off from among his people. Now, I want to stop there for a moment, just give a little bit of exposition on that one. You know, it's like the Bible is very strong in prohibiting the eating of blood. And God explains why. So, you know, very often you get meat and it's still raw and there's blood coming out. That I avoid. I don't want blood in my food. And it says, and it tells you, who eats any blood, I will set my face against him, and that person who eats blood, I will cut him off from among his people. Why? For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Your life is in your blood. Every living thing, the life of all flesh is in the blood. Everybody say, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, if I could, in a moment, just take out all your blood out of your veins and replace it with water, you die on the spot. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So therefore, we don't eat blood. It's what the Bible says, God's word says. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes the atonement for the soul. God uses blood in the Old Testament of animals and all the various livestock that he prescribed to be sacrificed, and their blood would be the substance making atonement in the Old Covenant, in the Old Covenant for the soul. But we'll get to the blood of Jesus. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor stranger, any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Again, verse 13 of Leviticus 17, whatever man of the children of Israel or any of the strangers who dwell among you who hunts and catches any animal or bird that it may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is, says the Creator, the Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is the life of all flesh. Therefore, its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is in its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Having said that, I go again to the book of Acts, chapter number 15 and 29. Those of you who write these verses, keep it in your Bibles. It's all covenant talk, but wow, the central factor is the blood of Jesus. Acts chapter 15 and 29. The apostles of the Lamb, that's those that follow Jesus, they're all together in Acts 15. And in the 29th verse, they give instructions to the New Testament church, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled. Why strangled? Because if a thing is strangled and you eat it, the blood is still in that flesh. So you want to get rid of the blood, and God's very clear on that one. From blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Acts 15 and the 20th verse, so it's 20 and 29, but we write to them, the Gentile church, the church here today, to abstain says to you by the apostles, abstain from things polluted by idols, sexual immorality, and from things strangled and from blood. We, as the Christian church, are not to eat blood. In fact, from the days of Moses, in fact, from the days of Noah, when he came out of the ark, he was already told, Noah said, God spoke to him and said, don't you eat blood. So very important that we understand it. Why? Because the life of all flesh is in the blood. Now, here we look at the power of the blood as we focus on the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13 and 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. How then? He's that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. How? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is pleasing, well-pleasing, in fact, in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He was raised by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, even His own blood. Now, before I continue with that, to say something to you, which is actually quite important, and that is that when Jesus was born of a virgin, the blood in His veins, and we get into this with the blood covenant, get technical about it and understand it, even new creation realities, we can explain it very, very deeply. But for now, to say this, that the blood of Jesus came from God the Father to God His Son, who is the express image of His person, and that blood is the blood sinless, stainless, spotless, eternally holy, able to wherewith go into an eternal covenant to bless us eternally. So His blood was so powerful that when He had paid for the sins of the world with His blood, He died on the cross. And notice that by that same power, the power of the blood of Jesus, He was raised from the dead. And may I say to you, at the return of the church, by the power of the blood of Jesus, the church shall come out of the graves and join those who are still alive and rise up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:23. So we know, if we look at 1 Thessalonians 4, how the graves are open, the dead are raised by the power of the blood of Jesus. In Him was the life. Let's continue with this. In John chapter number 1 and the first verse, in the beginning, the book van Johannes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Now notice verse number 4, VIP. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Notice verse 4. In Him was life. Now the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of Jesus, when He walked the earth, His life-giving blood is still at work, and even eternally through the eternal blood covenant. So in Him was the life. The life is in the blood. He was walking with the most important sacrifice to be made, that at once all mankind can be saved through Him and then be cleansed in his blood so as to be able to become joint heirs with Christ into all eternity. And set up a covenant, write it, ratify it, establish it in his blood. Now watch, in him was the life, and the life was the light of man. To me, this is a very important verse, because I need to know, now, this blood of Jesus, follow the trail of the blood through his resurrection, raised up by the glory of the Father, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, if he's raised up and he ascended on high, Acts chapter number 1, what happened further concerning the blood? Now, in Hebrews 9 is a paramount section. This section I'm about to read here is a critical chapter in the whole Bible for the New Testament church, even anybody alive on the planet to understand this. So I tell you what, this is like wow section here. Hebrews 9, and I just pick up in the 9th verse where it talks about, now Jesus went up to be seated at the right hand of the Father on high. And now with that being said, what happened then? Hebrews 9:11 says, but Christ came as a high priest. Everybody say our high priest. Of the good things, the good news, the good things to come, with a greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. This tabernacle that Moses had on earth is only a type and a shadow of the heavenly tabernacle. So Christ, after the ascension, went there. And when he went there, look at what he did. He came as high priest of the good things to come. He went to the perfect, the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not, verse 12, with the blood of goats and calves, animals, but he goes there with his own blood. Stop there. The only blood that Scripture teaches us, the only blood in heaven, is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. And we become the body of Christ. So his blood, through becoming part of his body, is the eternal covenant. By it is the eternal covenant, by it eternal life, by it the eternal blessedness, by it everything that we believe for. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood concerning us. 1 Corinthians 15 says, flesh and blood, our bodies, our blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But with his own blood now, that's where that blood went there, the blood of Jesus, he entered into the most holy place. Once for all. Once for all. That's it. The sacrifice of the ages. When I was in the theological college of the AFM, we had a book called, in the Afrikaans language, I'll translate it into English, it's called Die volbrachte werk van Golgotha, the completed work of Calvary, which Jesus did on the cross. It is finished. It is done. The complete work of that sacrifice continues now through the blood being presented in the most holy place, in the heavenly tabernacle. And it says here, not with the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean and sanctifies for the purification of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot or blemish, cleanse your conscience, which is the voice of your human spirit, the knowledge of right and wrong. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Christ, the living God, shall I say, as it's written here. The blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience. If we understand the power of His blood, do you know that every sin that you have ever committed in your life instantly has been taken care of 2,000 years ago? And as you ask God for forgiveness and the cleansing of His blood, you have resurrection power, you have executive authority over demons and scorpions and over all of the enemy. You have the overcoming power to conquer the enemy, which is the devil and his cohort. You immediately get cleansed all together. You become one with Him. You become part of the bride of Christ, heading for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the bride, these two shall become one, is His body also, and He is the head of the body, and He's aware of every sin that every person ever committed and has washed you 2,000 years ago in the power of His blood and presented it to God the Almighty Father. Can you say amen? Give God a praise offering. He offered through the eternal Spirit. Notice the Holy Spirit's involved in all of this. He comes in by the blood through the eternal Spirit. Offered Himself without spot to God. Verse 14, Hebrews 9. Cleanse your conscience from dead works. Now you can serve the living God. Verse 15. And for this reason, He is the mediator, capital letter, of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, the time of Moses, that time there, and the covenant of the law and all its institutes and precepts and commandments, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You haven't got a temporary inheritance, my dear friends. You have an eternal inheritance through Christ. It's just that powerful. And it's the blood of Jesus that connects you directly in your prayer life through your prayers to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Watch. Hebrews 9:16. For where there is a testament, there must also be of necessity the death of a testator. In other words, you have a will and a testament. Should you die, this must go to your children, that must go there, and you bequeath things to various people and so on and so forth. Where there is a testament, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead. When Jesus died on that cross, new covenant, power of the blood, saving you, cleansing you, helping you to walk in unison, in community, in koinonia, joint sharing with Christ the Lord. You are connected to His body, and His blood reaches you on a daily basis, keeping you alive. If I take this finger and I put a string around, I cut off the bloodstream, what will happen to this finger? It'll die. It'll die. If you take the blood and you cut off blood from any of your limbs, it'll die. It'll be dead and it'll fall off. It'll die. So we are connected eternally to Christ, cleansed daily, continuously, again eternally, by the blood of the Lamb. As you live, as you move, He's aware of every part in His body, which includes you, what you do. And your sins have been nailed to the cross. The power of the blood cleanses you. The blood of Jesus has set up a covenant, and the testament, the New Testament, is empowered because of his death. The moment he died, from that moment in time, the New Testament life of the Church of God begins. Now, it does not stop there. For, it says here, even under verse 18, for not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant with God that which God has commanded you. Likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, purified or cleansed. It's the Greek word called katharizo, cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So when Christ came, you were cleansed 2,000 years before we even breathed by his blood incorruptible, taken up into heaven. Now we're going to follow that trail still, but here we are. It's eternally so. Every generation, this gospel shall be preached to all people, every generations up to the end of this earth, this dispensation of the church. Then the end comes and the departure of the Church of Jesus Christ and that entire revelation of the book of Revelation follows. Romans 3:24, we back on track with the blood. Therefore, being justified freely by his grace, that's you, through the redemption. Redemption means to buy something, to redeem it, to make it yours. How? The redemption is the price paid that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Now, stop there for a moment. The word propitiation is now very important. I might want to stop on that word because you need to understand what that means in actual application. When you have the Old Testament tabernacle with Moses, there was the outer court containing the brazen altar where they did sacrifices. They would carry that blood into the most holy place, the high priest, once a year on the Day of Great Atonement. It's called the Yom Kippur. They still celebrate the Yom Kippur until the coming of Christ. And I've often wondered if the actual time when Jesus comes down from heaven on the day of the Armageddon, if that's not going to be actually the Great Atonement Day, because he is the one that brought the Great Atonement to mankind. Now, then that blood is carried in by the high priest. He walks, he cleanses himself in the brazen laver filled with water, both feet and hands, goes, collects now with holy garments, special garments prescribed by God, goes into the holy place, the second compartment of the tabernacle. There he is immediately faced with the light of the golden menorah. The menorah is that lamp with seven flames. The fire that fell in the time of Moses and with the case of King Solomon's temple, that fire, of course, consumed the altar. It burnt on the altar. They had little shovels. They took those living stones burning with God's fire to that lamp, and with that fire, God's own fire, lit up the lamp. No foreign fire is allowed in God's presence. If you say foreign fire, you're referring to all kinds of religions and so on. There is no other religion on earth like Christianity, where you and I know that there's only one blood that can cleanse mankind. That's the blood of Jesus Christ, you know. Give the Lord a praise offering right now. There is only one covenant. There can't yet be another extra covenant. One covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. For how long? Eternally so. When did he do so? 2,000 years ago. The only blood that can get you into heaven, saved eternally, cleanse you as if you have never sinned before. The only other blood that exists is the blood of Jesus himself. Our flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, but his blood has gone up all the way to heaven. Watch this. That word there, propitiation, so the high priest could now see in the flame of the light that God created, and God gave the instruction of the golden lampstand. Then in that light, which burns with God's fire, he could see the golden table of showbread move on to the altar of incense, which is the prayer altar. The highest altar in the configuration of the altar was the altar of prayer, where on which living stones or living coals are kept, and they're always emitting sweet incense, which are the prayers of the saints that go in behind the veil to make contact with God. But the high priest would go behind the most holy place, that final curtain. He would go in there once a year with blood that he carried from a sacrifice of an animal. Then he would take that blood, and in front of him would stand the most important earthly made furniture item of the temple and of King Solomon's temple, the tabernacle and temple, ever on earth, which is the Ark of the Covenant. It is, you know, like David says, you who dwell between the two cherubim. Those cherubim, the cherub class angels, they look over, they got their wings connected like that. They look down on the Ark and the mercy seat of the Ark. On that mercy seat was poured the blood of animals, Old Testament. But now Christ goes through, presents himself to God, offers himself right before the throne of God by his own blood. Of course, now he's just established a covenant. He's now gone into heaven. By his own blood he entered, and God set him forth as a propitiation by his blood. The word propitiation means literally the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which you read about actually again later on in the book of Revelation. It's the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. When the blood of Jesus came upon the mercy seat, that's it. The covenant is established. God accepts that sacrifice. And now we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He himself carried his blood into heaven for you and I. Then on the propitiation seat, or the, as it says here, literally, hilasterion is the Greek word, by the way, for it. But if I look at the dictionary, it says it refers to the cover of, the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. Excuse me. The mercy seat refers, says the dictionary here, the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat, the place of the propitiation. In other words, that's the point where finally you may know forever that your sins have been taken care of, crucified on the cross. That's the point that all things are made well concerning you in the sight of the Almighty God. Give him a praise offering, everybody. Do that right now. So it says, because of his forbearance, in other words, his patience, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How many of you today can say, raise your hand, you have faith in Jesus? Right. So that tells us where the blood was taken. Now, we also read Hebrews 7:27. It says these words. Now, in the Old Testament, they continuously brought these sacrifices of animals. And it says, he who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin and then for the people's. And that he did, Jesus did this, he did once for all. Once for all. When he offered up himself. When Christ entered the throne room of God the Father, he had offered up himself. He knew it. God the Father knew it. God the Father accepted the blood that came from him. It's the blood of life of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the life-giving blood of the Almighty Holy Trinity, right there on the mercy seat in heaven above, Christ at the right hand of the Father. When God now looks at you, the Father, he sees you through the blood. And when he looks at you, as the New Testament says, he sees you holy, without blemish, and irreprovable in his sight. You are now the righteousness through faith of God in Christ Jesus. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Behold, the old things have passed. We are all things now. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now it says here, he did once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. Now, I want you to see Hebrews 12 and 22. What then about the blood? Because we know his blood is living blood. Why do we know it's living blood? Because the Bible says it's eternal. It is the eternal covenant. Why? Because Jesus is alive at the right hand of the Father, and he carried his own blood up into heaven. So that in itself, it says something to us here in Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the church, the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men, righteous people, made perfect. Now notice verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, Berit Hadashah, New Testament, New Covenant, the pact, the agreement, in the case of God, came to save us, the unilateral covenant, God reaches out. All we have to do is believe in Jesus and receive the blood of the sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Guess what the blood does? Notice what the blood does before God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the blood speaks. If you look at that Greek word there, the blood speaks. It's a Greek word there. It says, yeah, I've got the Greek in front of me. Say laleo, laleo. That means, like you have on the New Testament, the book of Acts, they spoke in tongues, glossolaleo. It's laleo, it's speech. The blood is bearing witness of your forgiveness. It bears witness of one who has died and did the complete work of sacrificing himself on the cross, died, was raised from the dead, went to the Father, accepted by the Father, blood on the mercy seat, sits at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says the blood is speaking. Every promise in this New Testament, that's why I say we should see so many miracles. Every promise of the New Testament is empowered right there and then. All spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus empowered. The blessing of Abraham, Galatians 3:13, Ephesians 1:3, Galatians 3:13. You know, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, verse 14. For it is written, blessed is, cursed is he who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Do you know that the blessing of Abraham now rests upon you? Do you know that you have every spiritual blessing of the heavens? Do you know also that now his promises are yea and amen, which means it is so, yea and amen through Jesus Christ. Do you know his blood speaks all the time? Every time you say, Lord, I've done something wrong, forgive me. The blood of Jesus talks of your deliverance, your propitiation. It's been paid for. You are free. If the Son of God has set you free, if the Word of God has set you free, the Word became flesh. His name is Jesus. I want to give you a verse now that I haven't given to the other people this morning. But if he set you free, my friend, you are free. Now, I'm going to close here. Yeah. I want to give you a verse. First, listen, I get to it. Romans 8:34 says, now, who is he who condemns you? Christ who died. Romans 8:34. Romeina 8:34. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who makes intercession for us? Christ is praying by the power and because of the testimony of his own blood, praying for you all the time. Better than what I can pray. Better than what anybody else can pray. Better than what we all can pray together. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, lives to do intercession for you. And again, Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he's able to also save to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for the saints. Now, with that being said, I want to go to a verse I didn't share quickly, this one. And there is a strange revelation here, but it's beautiful. We're on track with the blood, aren't we? I said, aren't we now? Do you have a better understanding why your prayers are heard? Do you have a better understanding of your covenant? Do you have a better understanding of why you're protected? You're in the body of Christ. You're part of the bride of Christ. Do you think he knows about you? Of course he knows about every cell in his body, every human being. Watch this. Revelation 19:11. I hadn't touched this in the first service. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Makes war against what? Against the demonic forces of the Antichrist, the devil, and whatnot. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Now notice verse number 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Jesus now. But notice that he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. The only blood in heaven is the blood of Jesus. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? When he comes to take out the Antichrist on the day of Armageddon, guess what is on the front line? His own blood. And the devil knows because of that blood he's lost the victory. The devil knows he's defeated. When he sees the red blood on the garment of Jesus, like you'd say in the Afrikaans language, dan is het weer sikke tyd. Die duivel is weer in groot moeilikheid. Then at such time again, the devil's in big trouble there. The blood of Jesus, that red blood, tells the devil, you killed me once, now I'm coming for you. I died on the cross, but you didn't know what I was going to do. I was going to cleanse all these people, redeem them, make propitiation before my Father. And now look at the color. And if you have any memory in you, devil now, see the color, and you must know that the demons tremble when they see the power of the blood of Jesus. Rise up, give the Lord a praise. You know, Lord, when it comes to you, it's all or nothing. When we give you our all, because anyway, we all together belong to you. But when we surrender our all, everything about us to you, knowing what we now know about the blood, we're so one with you. We're connected to you. We have a line to heaven all the time. Every day, the blood cleanses us day by day, again and again, keeps us pure and holy until your return. Then I realize, Lord, there's nothing that hinders the miracle working power of God in this place and any church. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you, be gracious to you, grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all God's people say.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.